good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and Charlene McNeil. Hi, Charlene.
Hi. We're just laughing at Donald, all of us.
Oh, it's a good thing.
I know. Isn't he fun?
I'm here on the East Coast, and my goodness, it is really snowing here. The land of the snow. I have to say, though, it's beautiful.
Well, but you know what? Now, you always have been picking up the weather from the west, so in two days you'll be able to have some sunshine.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Because they finally, in California, where Donald is, finally got sunshine.
Well, sun is good, but I tell you, snow is beautiful, too.
Oh,
for those
it?
Of you who are not familiar with snow, I mean, you know, you hear all these stories about how terrible it is, and yeah,
Mm-mm.
You can have some nasty experiences, but if you can just sit back in the house and watch it like I am, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Which
there's
just
nothing
goes,
to see a white blanket of snow covering everything.
I know, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
sure
it
is.
Just goes to enforce the fact that everything in the world is beautiful. It just depends on your vantage point, you know, how you're looking at it, and what's on your mind, how you perceive things, you know, through your own experience. And if you're out there in a snarl of traffic, your experience isn't so great. But if you're in the house watching this, it's gorgeous. So I guess that's a little lesson on life.
Depends on your attitude.
Indeed. So today I thought, I don't know about what you had in mind about talking about, Charlene, but something that I wanted to bring forth is something that I do on the Metatron Minute Soul Healing Conferences. And one of the things that we do is go inside of the body and converse with it. And I know you do that, Charlene. But there's a lot of people who really aren't familiar with this. This is new territory for them. And the more conference calls that I do with Lord Metatron, the more I find that the statement that Yeshua made about going within is so appropriate. So much can really be done by going within, but we don't always understand what that means. And so I want to talk a little bit about the body and about going within. What do you think of that, Charlene?
I think that's marvelous.
Yes. So I'll talk a little bit about how I do it, and then perhaps you can talk a little bit about how you do it.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, I want to establish first something interesting that you might not be thinking about. Everything in the cosmos, everything in our world that is, I guess you might say organic, has consciousness. And we know that the mind has consciousness because we think. We know that the brain has consciousness also. But perhaps we are not aware of the fact that the body has consciousness, along with the planet, along with the universe. No matter where we go, what we think about, it has consciousness. And so it's a fascinating thing how this works. When you think of something, and I don't care what it is, if you think of your toe, or you think of a star, or you think of some system within the body, awareness follows thought. It's just a simple thing. We have no control over it. It just is. And so if we think of our body and we know how to go within our body, our consciousness goes there. Our consciousness, first of all, starts in the subtle body. Some people call this the subtle body. Some call it the etheric. Some call it the light body. But it is those energy bands around the physical body that I'm talking about, no matter what you call it. So I suggest to people to either follow the breath or follow the beating heart. You know with how the heart beats. You've seen pictures of it. And you know how the breath goes in through the nose, into the lungs, bringing oxygen, nourishing everything that's in the body. So if you follow one of those procedures, your thought is there. And with your thought comes awareness. You become aware. You become conscious of it. And so there is a part of your intelligence, your awareness and consciousness that actually moves into the body. Now, the first place that it goes, which has been my experience, it goes into that energy field around the body. And that, of course, is divided into some areas, the emotional body, the mental body, and the spiritual body that is in those subtle bodies. And I have found that where people usually work from in the beginning is that emotional body, and that is right next to the physical body. So what happens is when you think of the beating heart or you think of the breath, your awareness, your consciousness goes into that energy body. Now, you don't physically go there, but we're talking about energy. Energetically, you are there. And it's a very subtle thing, because if you pay attention to that, you can actually feel the shift. It's subtle. You have to concentrate on it, pay attention to it, but there is a subtle shift, and you know you're there. And when you're there, you can ask the body, for instance, you have a headache today. You can go to that place and ask the body why the head hurts. Now you'll get an answer. And everybody receives the answers a little bit differently. I'm clairaudient, and so I will hear my answer. Everyone is not clairaudient, so you might hear it in intuition. You'll hear it intuitively. And you must express and accept the first answer that you hear. And there's a reason for that, because the brain, as you know, is divided into quadrants, but I'm going to talk right now about the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. The right side of the brain is where spirit comes in and speaks to you. That's where your intuition comes into play. The left side of the brain is your reasoning side of the brain. And the left side of the brain knows nothing about intuition. And so when you get this answer, this intuition, and you want to know, well, what is this? How is this happening? What am I hearing? You're in the left side of the brain, and you have completely cut off your intuitive side because there is a disconnect there. So what you do is you go with your first prompting. It's very important, because once you get into the left side of the brain, you really do get confused. Can't ask questions. Now, as time goes on, you really get to believe and feel the understanding that what you are hearing is accurate. Now, a lot has to do with the kind of questions that you ask. Now, I gave a simple question, why does my head hurt? Now, what some people do is they ask these very long, convoluted questions, and it doesn't work that way. You have to ask a simple question, and you build upon that with another question. And that is how it works, and it is just so fascinating. The body does not lie. It might get a lie from your employer or from one of your kids or a neighbor, but you're not going to get it from the body. The body never lies. That's the beauty of this. And so you can explore the interior by using this method, and I'll talk a little later about how much one can learn from this. So, Charlene, you're up, darling. Tell us how you work.
Well, basically, it's almost the same way as you go in and ask. You know, sometimes I'll go in and see what's going on. I can remote view what's going on. The person, like you say, has a headache. Then I'll say, you know, what is, say to them, what is it that's been going on in your life in the last couple of days or maybe a week, or and have them discuss it so that they get it out emotionally what has been going on. Then ask to go in and see if we can't ask it to go, ask the cells to create a different energy in that. So we'll go in and ask God to create something different than what is in there with their, with permission. So we'll go in and change the energy or thought pattern, or like you say, the left brain, it's a very analytical part, and so it'll go in and you have the first answer that comes up, and the left brain will want to analyze it out. So when you say the first feeling or thought that comes, use it to understand exactly what it is that is really bothering you or what has created that. Then you can go in and ask God to change the vibrational frequency of the energy that is creating the headache. And usually that'll take it away, because you've got to take a positive and replace it with a negative.
And I have found that once people that, you know, on the conference calls, I walk people through this and they get the answer and they connect it with other aspects of their life, they are amazed at just how easy this is. It seems daunting because you haven't done it, but if you walk through it yourself or you help someone else to walk you through it, you find out just how easy it is. So what I would like to do is to invite our listeners to give us a call. Tell us about, perhaps you might be a healer. What method do you use to heal? If you're not a healer and you're looking for help, call in with your problem and see if, you know, not see, but bring your problem to myself or Charlene or the two of us and see what we can do to make this really big change in your life, because actually it's a tremendous change in your life when first you have a clearing, a healing that can be accomplished. And then, secondly, you learn how to do it yourself. You just learn the power of it. Now, Charlene, what I want to talk about right now is some people believe that this doesn't happen or it can't happen because they don't believe that the body really has consciousness. But something that I want to mention to people, and we all know this, when a child is born. And at conception, you know that there's two halves of a cell that comes together. And we start with something very basic, a cell. And that cell divides and it grows. And the next thing you know, after 9 months, you have a child that is perfectly formed. Now, I don't mean to make light of the fact that sometimes there's problems that come into play, but that is the way of nature, that is its design. And if you stop and think about it, all of the different kinds of cells in your body, I mean, we have brain cells, heart cells, cells that form veins, that form blood, that form nerves, that form bones. All of these are different components, but yet they come from this one beginning. So what that means is for the body to divide, to grow and divide into all these different parts of another human being, it had to have intelligence. And that's the point that I want to make, that there is intelligence in the human body. There is consciousness, and we can connect our consciousness to that consciousness. So I wanted to bring that forth to help your belief, to help you understand. We have a lot of numbers. We have a lot of lines here. And if you go to our homepage at www.bbsradiostation1, you'll see that you'll see a picture there. I'm up with the message with Charlene, and there are all of these numbers, 530-327-7602. We have three lines you can call in on, and then we have a Canadian line. So our neighbors in Canada can call us at 888-815-9756. The beauty of all of this is, my goodness, we even pay for the telephone call. Imagine that. In this world of areas where people are trying to make money on everything, we have a station here that you can listen to, you can call into, you can ask questions, talk to us, look for a healing, learn some new ways of working with your physical body and your mind, and we'll even pay for the phone call. So, give us a call. Tell us how you might work with a healing. You might be a healer. You might have some methods of your own that you want to share, or you might be an individual who's looking for a healing. Give us a call. We're here for 2 hours, and I can tell you the 2 hours go by pretty fast. So many times people sit out there and they listen to us because we might be saying something that's interesting, and they get ready to call, and what do you know, we're ready to go off the air. So give us a buzz. So, Charlene, what the people that you have been working with lately, what are they calling you about for healing this last month? What's on their minds?
Well, a lot of people, of course, are being kind of fear-based by some of the things that are happening, you know, in Haiti. And but there's a very positive aspect that I've been trying to incorporate with everybody that's calling in, and that is to tell them, you know, one of the positive things that are going on is to send them your love. Send them God's love. Because what will happen is there'll be a balance by what's going on. We're sending a very positive energy. We're concerned for them. We have compassion for them. We're doing what we can on a physical level to make their burden lighter. So there is a lot of positive things that are going on that will help them as long as we just send them our love and God's love. We're sending an energy that is really making a difference in their life and in their recovery, not just with the physical things that are being done for them. That's a, you know, and people are pretty fearful about what would I do if there was emergency. And so people are becoming more concerned about that and getting themselves prepared for anything that might come up, and their families prepared. But a lot of people right now are really wanting to have an abundance of money coming in, so they become fearful that there's a lack. But it's kind of like if you become fearful of something, then you create the fear, kind of like what you were saying. What we fear is what we create. But if what we love, we can also create that, and that's an energy as well. So you send out the energy that you choose to have, not what you choose not to have. So most people were really dealing with having abundance of money, but love the money that comes in, because God, it's just, I was told one time, money is God being manifested, and that's true. Because you can take money, it's what you do with it. If you can take it and serve others, and serve humanity in some way, to give that somebody else a job or give somebody else joy from what you've done for them, then that is using money in a positive way. There really is a plenty of it out there, because money is energy. It's just we start limiting that amount that's coming in because of our fear consciousness. So a lot of that's going on, or people are having problems with health problems. So we're dealing with that. A lot of the health problems are going away because we deal in the metaphysical, like you said, each cell has their own memory of what their job is. You don't get an ear mixed up with an eye. They know exactly what the intelligence within those cells know exactly what is expected from them, and they produce what that expectation and they've been programmed for. And so if we can go in and change the vibrational frequency of what that cell has been fragmented with and change it from a negative to a positive, then usually those cells will get well because they're in a positive frequency now instead of negative.
Well, I agree with everything that you're saying as far as the things that people that are concerning people at the moment, and certainly in this economy with so many people out of work, there are many who are experiencing financial lack, and they're put into a very serious mode when they have lost a job or their income has decreased and their bills are greater than the income that's coming in. So it is exceedingly difficult for people at this time. So let's talk a little bit, Shirlene, now about what people can do about that. You want to go up first and tell your thoughts, and then I'll tell mine.
Well, part
how
of
can
it,
people bring prosperity into their lives?
How do they bring prosperity? Part of it is even with myself, a lot of times I'm repeating this, and that is everything is working in divine right order. A lot of times we'll ask our higher source, whichever your higher source is. With me, it would be God. With somebody else, it might be universe. But if I ask God for help, then I have to be aware that if I'm asking for help, he's going to help me. So I repeat, everything is working in divine right order, and that is to back me off from being in the ego and letting God help me to put the energy in there that is required to make things different and to perform the miracles that are necessary to put me in a financial better place. It might not be right away because it might not be at my best interest right at the time, but to let me know that God really is in charge, and that all things will work out for my best and highest good.
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with anything that you're saying about that, because it is true. It is a truth. But there are some other things that people can do also. We, generally speaking, Americans, for the most part, it seems to me, have learned to depend on corporate America for a job. And there was a time when Americans were more, how shall I say this, self-reliant, making their own way, making their own income. You know, we lived on farms. We were an agricultural country at one time, and that all has changed. So the agribusiness, you know, so much of that is large corporations are now the employer. The small independent farmers are you know, that number is quickly disappearing. So we have a number of people who made their own living from the land. That's reducing. And more people are in the corporate world. And since we're moving to a information processing society, that has even become more prevalent. So for a long time now, we have been looking towards corporations to give us a job, so to speak, and to earn a paycheck. And I think this is an opportune time to start thinking about, well, if I choose to look for a job, look in the corporate area, this has become very difficult because there are so many applicants applying for a job that people with good credentials are being overlooked. Individuals who are graduating from college are having difficulties finding a job, many of them. And so it might be an interesting time to start looking outside of the box. You can still look for a job with a corporation, but while that is happening, what can you do to support yourself, to look outside of the box? for those of you who might not be familiar with New England, and Vermont in particular, it is a state where so many people there are independent. They live off the land. They have learned skills to support themselves without working for a corporation. And there is the internet, where so much is being sold today to learn how to use the internet for, you know, setting up your own business can be difficult, could can be daunting, but it can be done. And so I think what you're saying is true, and I'm not taking away from that whatsoever. But I also think we have to take along with that some positive moves. And if you are blocked from finding a job in a corporation because maybe that particular area is flooded, you know, we have certain areas that now and then there's just a glut of people applying and very few jobs. It's time to start thinking outside of the box. And one way to do that, I do believe, is to listen to inspiration and to connect with your high self. I find that it's difficult for people to connect with their high self because many are following meditation where they're supposed to still the mind and be quiet and just wait for something to come to them. And we're like a broadcasting station or a radio receiving station. And so there's two aspects of that. There is the signal going out and the answer coming in. And so we have to be proactive with the signal going out and receptive with the answer coming in. And so connecting with your higher mind, I'm not going to give all the directions here because it is something that people have to do one-on-one, but you can work with this and invite this connection with your high self, because it is the higher self that really is the entranceway to your soul, that really is connected to the God force that Charlene is talking about. And it's like knocking on the door to our soul by connecting with our high self. That is our God self. And that particular aspect of us and that connection that we have to our soul, the high self actually brings events into our life. And once we connect with that, and once we learn how to work with that God self that we are, that part of us that is our soul that is connected to God, we can enlist that assistance to bring events into our life. That's the aspect of ourself that's connected to God that actually brings opportunity, events into our life. And I think this is extremely important. I'm not saying anything different than Charlene is saying, except I'm talking about a discipline also where we can, again, go within and we can work with this. I think this is a particularly difficult time for many people financially. Give us a call. If you are out there wondering what to do, needing help with healing or with prosperity, give us a call. We have quite a few numbers that you can connect with, and I read them once. Go on the website at bbsradio.com. We're on the air now, and we're on Station 1. All the telephone numbers are there, and we would be glad to work with you. So, Charlene, what else is happening, dear, that you want to talk about?
Well, I think that the things that we've been talking about is really important. If we finally realize that the things that we think and the words that we speak becomes what it vibrates, like you were saying, that's what vibrates in the frequency in the universe, and it comes back to us. Mm-hmm. But even those, you know, we've got circumstances that are beyond individual control. Let's face it. And so what we have to do is get to the point where we can finally trust, like you say, the higher self or the God self or our higher source that's going to come in and make sure that things are fine for us. And it doesn't feel fine at the time. But a lot of people I find are becoming more creative about what they're going to do to take care of themselves. And people are, like you say, they're going outside the box and they're thinking of other things that maybe I can do this or that or something else. And they're becoming very creative at going a different direction, and they find that it just serves them completely to go the other direction. And so once you put it out in the energy field, you change the vibrational frequency of your perception of what your life is, and it starts changing. You might have somebody that always wanted to be a writer or a musician, and they've never done it, but this is giving them the opportunity to back off and start exploring that part of them. And then they're starting to be successful at it. It's just an amazing time for people, even though it's difficult at the time. When you're out of work or not paying your bills, it's very stressful. It's very difficult to keep in a higher thought pattern and verbalize in a higher thought vibrational frequency rather than being at a lower frequency.
Well, what we're really talking about here, Charlene, I think, is that no matter what happens, there is always an opportunity here. And many times we look at sadness and we look at the challenges and we're not looking at, well, this just might be a moment where there is an opportunity to find an answer.
I think instead of going into, like you were talking about before, instead of us going in, you know, and I really have done this myself many times, and that is going into the fear factor. And, you know, you go into that fear of, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? And then pretty soon we're creating a great deal of stress and anxiety because we're projecting out there the worst that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than saying, well, but maybe this is an opportunity. What do I do with this? I'm in a space that I don't like, but how can I change it? How can I put a positive in instead of a negative?
Well, and there's another aspect of that, Charlene, too. I agree with what you're saying. It's also an opportunity to walk into our mastery.
Absolutely. Find what's inside of you that really wants to be manifested at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And see if it can be done, be so. But it's sure hard to know that it can be so if, like you were saying, if you're not paying your bills or you don't have money for food, or your children or family is suffering because of it, it's very difficult to project that without having a job.
It is.
It is very difficult. Because money really is necessary. And in this world we live in, it's necessary.
Indeed. I'd like to suggest people who are out there who have their computers on, go to bbsradio.com, and on that page below the announcement of of this radio show right now, there is a little slot there that says Archangel Metatron, I have a message for you. Click that on. That's one of my websites. You can find out information about Metatron Soul Healings there. But something that I'd like to direct your attention to is the protocol page. On the left side of the page, it says protocols. And there's two protocols there. One's the Hara Line protocol, which is an extremely valuable protocol. You can click there to download it. You will just be amazed at where that takes you. I work with this on practically every call that I do with Lord Metatron. You can download it. You can follow it. You can hear me working with someone with that protocol. And I'm not going to give the answer to that because you will be fascinated upon what happens when you use it. Also, there is another protocol using the Holon, H-O-L-O-N. It's a geometric shape. It is a powerful energetic protection and balance method. So check out those two. Also, our free manifesting calls. Since we're talking about prosperity, we are also talking about manifesting those things in our life that we are looking for. So we have these free calls that you can join, and it's just a case of putting your name and email address there and submitting it. And when we have the next one, we will contact you through this email and let you know. So, Charlene, this might be a good time for you, my dear, to give out your phone number and let people know how they can reach you privately, because sometimes we can't discuss these things on the phone. And before you do that, we do have a caller. So let's find out about this caller then, Charlene, and then give out your phone number, dear.
You bet.
And your name, caller?
It's Dominic from England.
Oh, Dominic.
Hello,
it's been
Dominic.
A while since we've chatted with you.
Yes, it's been a while, yeah. Yes.
What can we do for you?
I'm having prosperity problems again.
A lot of people are having prosperity problems. So, what do you want to know about it?
Oh, dear. You know, it's like one friend who offered me a job to do a small amount of work for him, and then he kind of suddenly, called me back a few days later saying, no, I'll have to postpone it. And I don't know. It's just, I'm really being pushed on edges with finances these days. And I'm just trying to work out how can I get the wind sailing again.
Well, Charlene, can you put some wind in his sails?
Put some wind in it, huh?
What he wants, some wind in his sails.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes without us being aware of what kind of energy we're carrying, sometimes we can be carrying a lot of what's negative energy. And so when somebody is, for instance, being interviewed, they are picking up, a lot of times we are not aware of it, but telepathically we really do communicate with each other. And if a person is being rejected a lot, we're really projecting a negative energy field, and people are accommodating us by rejecting us. But it's because of what we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel a lot of rejection.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said he feels a lot of rejection.
Oh, okay. So what God will do, is God your higher source, Dominic?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we do is we go in and say to God, okay, pull my rejection issue. And he pulls that out, not only in this lifetime, but probably I'm finding that most people are going to release it if I have God take them into a past life and have the rejection issue pulled there, because most of the time, our past life cell memory is passed into what Carolyn was saying in our cells. And we still are dealing with a rejection issue from the past life. So I've seen a lot of people's lives change once we do that. So if that was okay with you, we'll go in and ask God to pull it out of your past life, pull it out of your conception to birth. Pardon?
I'm already feeling some of it, like energy highlighted all the protection rammed down my throat.
Okay. And so if it's okay, Dominic, we'll go in and we'll have it done on your past life, your sphere of understanding, which is conception to present time. Go in and have God pull it in your DNA and in your heart mind. Is that okay?
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay,
beautiful.
Let's go in and do that. I'll do that, and then in the meantime, we'll go in and have God do that and Carolyn will talk to you while I have God do that, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
So while Charlene is doing that, Dominic, tell me a little bit about London right now. What's the weather like there?
It's pretty cold and dull. We've had lots of lovely, interesting snow about a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was quite a lot more than the Londoners have seen in a long time. But now it's cleared up, and it's kind of, it was raining the other day, and it's really chilling. It's really chilling.
Yeah, I heard about that snow. London wasn't prepared for it. I don't think they have snow moving equipment like we do they?
No, but the trains managed to cope. You know, it's very surprising how they managed to cope this time. I was really surprised.
Well, I think the British do cope with everything that's thrown their way.
Yeah, you know, February last year, you know, we had about 2 inches of snow, and London couldn't cope with that. But now it's about, had about 6 inches this time, but somehow they coped. But, you know, they got prepared.
Yeah, I heard about that they were having trouble coping with it. But like you said, the British, I do believe, are very innovative.
Yes, over the year, they've just sort of planned ahead. And I'm very thankful of that. It didn't do anything too traumatic to my journeys at all, really. Okay, yeah.
So what have you been doing since we spoke the last time?
Job-wise. I've been kind of swimming around in a limbo state. It's been a very weird few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made, you know, just keeping together. And I was wondering, my gosh, I'm going to be able to handle this? And just the energy blasting me over the last few months. But, you know, it's calmed down since the new year.
If you go to my website, the 2012countdown.com, we do every month, we have a lot of information on that website about the energies that come in for the month. And
yes,
the energies have been very intense, especially since last August.
Yes, especially so, yeah.
Yes, and it's because of what's happening in the heavens. And each month this energy has been increasing. So for a lot of people it's very difficult. For people.
Yeah, I went for a number of months without being able to remember my dreams at all.
Uh-huh.
But since the new year, I've been able to get back to remembering my dreams.
Uh-huh.
And that was quite hellish too. It's very weird. And yeah, I've been out of contact with a lot of friends, and you know, I'm just wondering, my gosh, am I ever going to get back with a lot of these people?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt a lot more comfortable in the last few weeks.
Yes, the energy has been intense.
Yes, you know, it's another thing to try to find humor about. You know, a new situation to realize.
Did you say humor?
Yeah. Yes, I'm just kind of laughing my head off thinking about it. It was totally mad to me.
My goodness, Charlene's back.
Okay, Dominic, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot more jollier.
Good. Okay.
It's kind of continuous stiffness in my throat that, you know, I associate with kind of, you know, being imprisoned and rejected. so I'm still there, but it's just like some of this kind of a warmer feeling has overcome me in the last few minutes.
Okay, good. Okay, because what God did was pull out the rejection in a past life as well, okay? And so what it does is that cell memory is there, even though you might work on it on a conscious level. The cells are still got a memory from a past life that was a lot of rejection, of persecution, a lot of chaos. And so that's been pulled, okay? So that when you go in and you talk to somebody, that's not being projected on an energetic level to those in front of you. So
yeah,
that you're presenting yourself. You'll be presenting yourself with a higher vibrational frequency of God's energy of love.
It's almost like I've been projecting myself as a leper all the time. It's terrible.
Well, see, we don't realize that's happening, that what's going on. We don't understand why we're getting that kind of response. And it's because it's in the cell memory. Because all those cells, like Carolyn's talking about, all cells have memory of how they were originally created with the highest of intelligence. But through the years, they've become fragmented because of circumstances that we've been in. But I find that usually if we go in and have the person's higher self have, like have the rejection released from and canceled in the cell memory of rejection in your past life, people's lives start to change because God replaced it with God's love and love of self. So that when you present yourself, you're not going to present that yourself in a negative. You'll be presenting yourself in a positive energy.
Wonderful.
Do you have any questions about it?
No, that sounds fine to me.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much indeed. Yes.
You're welcome. Good to hear from you, Dominic.
Sorry?
Okay, thank you.
She said it was good hearing from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep in good time. Okay. Goodbye.
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 It's kind of hard sometimes when we get 3 to 4 interceptions there. I can't always hear everything that's being said.
Well, you have to remember, too, Dominic is from London, and they do have a little bit of a different accent than
well,
we
yeah,
do.
Well, yeah, they do. In fact, I love it.
I love it, too.
I do. I had a dear friend that was from England, and she was trying so hard to change her accent. And I said, oh, don't do that. I said, we just love it. It's wonderful. Don't change it. You know, we don't all need to be the same. It's nice to have the differences.
People aren't always comfortable with being different, unfortunately.
I know. We all want to kind of fit in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be accepted and fit in and be loved and cared about. That's human nature.
It is.
Yeah.
But we don't always have confidence in the fact that we are individuals and different from other people.
Yeah. And that they appreciate who we our differences, too.
Indeed.
A lot of times we grow up thinking that if we behaved or thought in a certain way, we would be accepted more readily.
Well, I suspect a lot of that has to do with self-love. We really do need to love ourselves for who we are.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting with Dominic that God put in self-love, because then he'll project that doesn't mean we're arrogant, because that's not self-love.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaning you appreciate you for who you really are, and that is the essence of God. So he'll be able to project that more readily in a positive way when he's in front of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll feel it, too, because the energy's been shifted.
Well, also, people that we talk to feel it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. absolutely. That's why I said we project energy more telepathically than we really perceive that we do.
Well, there's body language for one thing.
Yeah, what's that? And if we're fearful, it certainly comes across.
Doesn't it now?
Yeah, or if you meet somebody that is very, I mean, you can have, every, all of us had experience where somebody's come in a room where there's a group of people and you just automatically don't want to get acquainted with them, and you find out later they're a very negative person. And it's
or because, maybe you knew them in a past life.
Yeah, and you just want to stay away from that guy.
Or gal.
Or guy, or girl, or whatever.
And
yeah, there's something between you that just is not quite right. So, anyway, but then if it's past life, maybe it needs to be resolved, doesn't it?
Well, what I think is when we feel that, we don't always try and understand the feeling. And if we just take a moment or two and try to understand it, it's amazing how much you can learn.
Well, and we're finding, too, that we don't need to stay within it, those feelings. We can have it transmuted, like you said, into the higher self.
You know, while we're talking about that, I would like for us to talk a little bit about how you change a feeling, because I've heard people say, well, I really can't change how I feel. I don't like them, don't like her, whatever it is, but they don't think, well, you know, you could change that. So, Charlene, how would you suggest to a person if they find an emotion that they're not happy with within themselves, how could they change it?
Well, most of the time I've been having people take that feeling. Let's say that they have somebody that they really resent a great deal. Because the individual's probably been really unkind or cruel to them in some way or other. And so it's not to say it's okay for them to victimize you or to abuse you emotionally. That's not giving them permission to do that. It's being aware that's kind of response that you get between them. And God really is not asking you to allow yourself to be abused. It's not that at all. He's asking you to move away from those that don't serve you well, but to forgive them of their actions. They have created the actions. Once you give those actions back to the individual and then forgive that person because they're the essence of God, you'll find a lot of blocks that are in your way of either financial prosperity or creativity in your life. All of a sudden it starts coming forth because you're not blocking it anymore with some feelings that you have that are not serving you. That doesn't mean that it's okay for them to keep doing it. No. God does not want you to keep being abused. He chooses for you to be in a state of well-being and love. Sometimes you have to move away from those individuals that are causing you that kind of stress, but you can also have those feelings that say somebody is creating a great deal of anxiety or on you because of their behavior. Well, you can ask God to take that feeling of anxiety and transmute it to light, which is God's light, and give it to God. Don't hang on to it, because then the cells in that memory start getting fragmented more. But we do a lot of that kind of work so that we can get people to get to the point where they're in charge of immediately. It doesn't mean you don't feel. It just says, well, I feel really resentment towards her. So, okay, I say to God, I say, well, would you take this feeling of resentment and have it transmuted in the spiritual body to light, and so that it doesn't belong to me anymore? So a lot of times, that's what I do with myself. Mm-hmm. And if it's anything like that, it might be that I have to have a feeling, or maybe I have a thought pattern that says, you know what, that guy's just a jerk. You know, he's just, you know, being unkind and cruel to me. So then I ask God to take that feeling in the mental body and put it in the spiritual body and have it transmuted to light, to God's light, so that I don't carry that. Otherwise,
I do think that some of it is awareness.
Yes, and sometimes we're not aware that it's happening to us.
Yeah.
Or how it's being... We think that we've got to keep carrying that, those individuals that choose to be unkind to us.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not responsible for their creation. Because we carry responsibility for those that are unkind or cruel to us, and we carry that. And so our cells start getting broke down. That's where the metaphysical comes in. Because it certainly has become quite apparent to me through the years that the metaphysical is really true. Like you say, they end up with intelligence within the cells, and it interferes with the God intelligence. And usually it can be transmuted and changed to a positive. I see a lot of people having God change that, and that part of that cell will start getting better, whatever it is, because
mm-hmm.
The frequency has been changed.
Sometimes we don't realize, we're so accustomed to a situation that we don't realize that we're being abused.
No, because it might be a life pattern, too.
Exactly.
You know, if it's always been there, that's why I have to look at it. Is this a pattern that this individual has had through their whole lifetime? Did they come in from a past life with that as well? If
mm-hmm.
it's true, then that all has to be changed. Because it's a pattern they understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can they change something they don't know any different? I had one lady once, I said, well, how about a sense of peace? And she just kind of looked at me for a minute and she said, I don't know what that is, do I? And I said, no, I don't think so. So we took out the stress and anxiety, the fear that she felt of being unloved, and put in the sense of, I said, okay, find a time where you really know what it feels like to be in peace. Really, a really good feeling of peace. And she gave me that, and I said, now hold it. Now hold that feeling, and let's have God put it in your field, that you can now have that all the time. And so we did, and she moved out of town, and she wrote me a letter, and she says, I'm looking out over a sunset, and I feel so peaceful, and I have that most of the time.
That's wonderful.
It was just that's what I said. God creates many, many miracles in people's lives. It's just been incredible.
While we're finding this, have a little break here, how about giving us, those who are listening, your telephone number and
bit
about what you do, you know, what part of the country you're in, so forth?
Okay, I'm in Mountain Standard Time, and it's 801. 944-9346. And what we do is go in and change the past life memory that's in the cells and a conception to birth. I call it the sphere of understanding, because if it starts, let's say an individual has had a conception to birth, which was very traumatic, they can really spend their whole life in that trauma. Because that's how they were conceived in. So that can be changed, though. God can change anything. Everything is frequency. And everything can be changed from a lower frequency to a God frequency. And so then we change that, plus go into a DNA, which is your chromosomes, which the past ancestors have also, a lot of times, our behaviors, because you'll hear somebody say, well, you're just like your grandma. You think just like your grandma. And so there's a lot of trauma in the DNA that has to be resolved and in the heart mind.
Well, a lot. I'm finding that a lot of souls are coming back because they promised to clear their DNA, and they're coming back in the same family line.
And that's exactly what I'll always ask. Okay, now, is it okay with you if we also ask any ancestors that need to have this cleared for them, that we can clear that, and if they give permission, then God will go in and clear it on the ancestral line.
We have a caller, and your name, caller.
Hi, it's Carrie Ann.
Hi, Carrie Ann. What can we do for
you?
Hi.
I am trying to, I have so many questions, I don't know which one to ask, but I'm...
Let's start with one.
Okay. I have been waking up for the past 3 or 4 years now, and I'm in a marriage that he just absolutely hates that I am on this path, and I'm just really trying to figure out either to get the courage up to leave or I know I'm supposed to go through this with him. I'm just looking for some advice, I guess, on a way to look at it.
This is a time when people who are involved in a different vibration from us, in other words, we're moving away from people who are not of our vibration and moving closer to those who are. And I don't know if this is where you are, but you have some feelings about this. Tell me what you think. I just know you do because of some of the words that you say. Do you feel like you're supposed to be in this relationship to heal it?
Well, I've been told that we've already had previous lifetimes together and agreed to try to work it out again. And I believe that in my heart. I can sense that. But part of me knows it's very unhealthy for me. It's causing me to be sick. I don't see that it can be salvaged. I have a lot of fear of just taking the courage to go. I know that's really what I need to do so I can advance my spiritualism and,
You are talking this through, and that's good. Something that helps, my dear, is to write these things down. In other words, take a pad of paper and on one side put the pros and on the other side put the cons, so to speak. You know, things that are for, things that are against. Once you start analyzing a situation like that, and I'm talking about any challenge that you're in, it is amazing if you have it down on paper and you draw one line down the middle and on one side put the reasons for and the other side put the reasons against. It really helps you analyze the situation.
Yeah.
Might I suggest that first of all you do that? I don't mean just this moment, but I mean in general.
I actually started seeing a counselor, and of course it's not really the right person, and she thinks at all costs all marriages should stay together, and
that's not
helping me. But she has had me write down what would make me stay, and the things, you know, what would I need to be able to stay in this marriage, and I can write those things down, but I know there are things that he will totally fight against, and
I think, first of all, you have to accept the fact that maybe you're not to be in that marriage. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're not. I'm just suggesting to open up, to broaden the perspective. Maybe, you know, I was brought up Catholic, and in the Catholic faith, it is you stay married for the rest of your life, and that's what is taught.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I'm divorced. It's not because I didn't believe in the doctrine. I think the doctrine is marvelous. Stay married for the rest of your life. But it doesn't always work. Now, you mentioned something that I think is interesting, and you mentioned your health. You mentioned it's making you sick.
Yeah.
And you need to explore that. What changed my mind was I knew I had a spiritual mission, and I'm practicing part of that mission now by being on the radio. And
right.
I knew that my husband at the time would not tolerate any
and
of that.
And the body does, the body, the
and
energy
so it was
of the
either
body
being
does break
controlled
down
by him
when it's in a negative
or
field.
Leave and follow
and
my mission. And these are
the
hard decisions
so
to make. Because
right,
many times when you make a decision
without.
Like this.
I got two people talking at once. I'm having a hard time following.
It was a technical difficulty with the telephone system. So give us a call back. I do feel that we're in a situation that maybe we can help you sort this out. Like I said, I've been in the same situation, and actually Charlene has too. I just thought of that, Charlene.
Yeah, because we're kind of feel the same way. I could see that what was happening, that I couldn't move ahead on my spiritual path, even though I knew what it was. And he knew what it was, but he was really creating a lot of resentment because of it, and it was just, it was coming worse and worse, and I knew that eventually it was starting to create really poor health because it was becoming so severe. So I had a choice, and I chose to move out of it. So sometimes it isn't. I think that I was raised with the memory that it was a bad thing to get a divorce. And so
I think a lot of people felt that way. We've been taught that. And for a woman who wants to get out of a marriage, it takes a great deal of courage, I suspect.
Well, and I think it takes a lot of courage to say, you know, I'm not responsible for the other person's behavior or belief system. And
yeah, you have to take that attitude, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's what you have to do, because you're not responsible for their behavior. You're not responsible for what they're doing. You have to finally realize that you can only be responsible for your path, not what somebody else wants you to be or do. And
you know, while we're talking about this, Charlene, something that I went through that I think it would be very helpful for the woman, if she gets to the point where she feels like she wants out of the marriage, I think she has to, this is just my own personal opinion, I think she has to work on making some security, setting things up in her life that she has some financial security.
Right, right. And do it ahead of time.
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
I feel
yeah.
like there's so many people who, well, they stick in there until they can't stand it anymore, and then they leave without putting things right for themselves. And so I think financially it's very important to consider what you are doing, to make sure that you have records of the family assets, for one thing. So many women, when they decide on a divorce, they just leave without preparing, and they know nothing about the financial records and assets, where the assets are. So they leave, and they could be getting a lot more because they helped build the financial house of the marriage, and they're entitled to half. And so you've got to take those things into consideration. Where are the assets? Am I going to leave, or am I in a situation where I want him to leave the house? You've got to take those things into consideration. And if you leave, how are you going to support yourself? Well, maybe you have a job, and that's not an issue. But if it is, you've got to do this planning ahead of time. And again, I really do like the idea of writing things out on paper because it helps clear your mind. When you are involved in something that is very emotional, it's easy to become irrational in your choices. When it's written down on paper and you look at it and you analyze it, it helps to get some sanity in your decision-making process. And of course, if you have children, it makes it even more difficult because there are other lives that are depending upon you. In other words, you know, you're responsible for other people, and it makes that decision-making process a little bit more difficult. So I felt for myself a lot was about courage. A lot was about taking my power back and not giving my power over to someone else. And women have a tendency, and I'm not suggesting that this is true of our caller, but women have a tendency to want to please and make agreements because they want peace in the family, and it is not something that they really want. And that's a terrible way to live because it's easy to resent that. If you're turning your life over to someone else and you feel violated because they're taking advantage of you. And after a while, if you live in that situation, you lose some of your own self-respect. So I think it's important to think about it and decide, well, what is important to me? What am I willing to give up? And if I'm not willing to give up a certain set of values, what are you going to do about it? And I think all of those things come into play with making the decision of whether you're going to go through a divorce or not. Now, I know of people who have lived together with their spouse, and they have lived that where the husband made all of the choices and the wife was not happy with the choices, and she lived in those choices because she didn't have the courage to move on, because there's fear that surrounds that for many people, especially if you've lived in a marriage for a long time and then all of a sudden you find out that you're living alone or you're thinking about living alone. There's a certain fear that surrounds that. And are you staying in a marriage or a situation because of fear to move on by yourself? And I think if that, you really have to look at that. Are you giving up your integrity and living a lie because you're afraid to live by yourself? And I really think that is a core issue. You might not recognize it, you might not acknowledge it, but from a person who has gone through this herself, I really do think that is a core issue.
Well, I think one of them also that you and I have talked about before, and that is that a lot of times our belief system comes in that we failed. And
yes.
If you don't see that as a failure, but maybe a success of moving into a higher dimension of spirituality or for your higher self, then you see it as a success, not as a failure. And it takes two people to make it fail. And, of course, each person has their contributes to it one way or another, which is obvious. But don't always see things like that moving from even friendship. Sometimes you have to see in a friendship. Maybe it's not the friendship anymore. It's not serving you. So you have to move out of that friendship, not because you failed, but because you succeeded. Like you were saying, the word is important. You've become empowered about who you are.
You know, what strikes me as we are talking is this word judgment. There is judgment about so much of what we do, either judgment of ourselves or what we perceive as judgment of someone else might, you know, think of us a little differently.
Yes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, so many of us live in judgment. Judgment of ourselves, judgment of others. And there has to be some peace. There has to be some acceptance of who we are. You know, that's
well,
really
think,
getting back to love. Loving yourself.
Yeah, because you see, some people like you, we were saying before, self-love doesn't mean you're arrogant. That is not self-love. Or
yeah.
If you become self-serving, that's not self-love. Those that are self-serving and arrogant usually have fairly low self-esteem. They don't act like they act like they have good self-esteem, but they don't. You find that they're really very lacking because they really can't think of others except themselves. So that isn't self-love. Self-love, usually you love yourself enough that you can serve others, but also keep yourself empowered and honor yourself.
You know, I think that there's a lot of people out there that are either involved in a divorce or have been through a divorce or are thinking of a divorce. And if you fit into one of those categories, give us a call and maybe you have a take on the situation or you have a thought about it that might be of help to someone else that is out there. Give us a call and, you know, as I said, if you have something that you can contribute to the conversation, please do. I hear this so many times, you know, people involved in a divorce, and it's a very confusing time in your life. I don't know if you can recall this, Charlene, when you were going through it, but if you, you know, think about it, you would probably agree that it is one of the most difficult times in life. You're so unsure of yourself.
Well, you start taking so much some do and some don't. Responsibility that, what if I'd done this and it would have been okay? What if I did this and it'd be okay? Or even if you have children that are doing things that really are being destructive to them, then you think, well, what if I did this with them when they were growing up? And start taking on so much responsibility for other people's free agency. So you have to, like you said, you have to evaluate it all. Where have I contributed to this? So when I was going through it, I had probably waited long enough that I knew I had really put everything that was possible into the marriage to make it work. And it takes two people, and I finally realized that it wasn't coming from both sides. And if that was the case, you might as well just say enough is enough and I don't choose to do this anymore. And it wasn't, it's kind of interesting because God said to me, he said, he worked for the divorce. You won't find.
Charlene, now that you're divorced, I would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you happier now than you were before?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't go back there for anything. Somebody said, well, what if he gave you $1 million? I said, well, I might have to think about it.
No, I wouldn't think about
only
it.
Only if he lived someplace else than I lived where I did, I still didn't get it. No. I'm just kidding. But no. Mm-mm. It wouldn't be worth it. It's not worth it. It was really, let me tell you, to get everybody chuckling about this, and that is that I went in about a year afterwards, and I've been trying to change, like, my furniture and things like that, any energy that was there, and I had gone into the store, and I was looking at some furniture, and when the ladies come along, and she said, well, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm just trying to decide. I'm getting some new furniture for my living room, and I'm trying to decide. This is my celebration. Oh, you're celebrating your anniversary? I said, oh, yeah, but it's my divorce anniversary. I'll tell you, she laughed, and she laughed. And we'd go past one of the other clerks, and she said, we're finding her for she's celebrating a divorce. I think the whole store knew by the time I left. And everybody was just a-grinning. They said, I've never seen anybody celebrate their divorce. And I said, well, it's this lady doing it, because it's the best thing I ever did for myself. It was really, for me, it was what I needed to do. Now, for somebody else, they've been able to work it out, and it ends up being really great. But for me, it just didn't. And I've been very, very happy that I made that decision.
Well, some people do work it out, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. You know, some people work it, yeah, and they're very happy about it.
Yeah, I've seen where I've worked with a couple, and when the wife has raised her frequency and changed her thought patterns in the energy field, and the husband has seen her change, and then he's come and he's changed it. I had one lady says, I'm not married to the same guy. She says, we have so much fun together now. He's just not the same guy as I was married to before. And he says the same thing. So it isn't always a clear cut case of staying or going. It depends, like we were saying to her, it kind of depends on you. You have to have the courage to decide that it's going to work, or the courage to leave. If the other individual does not want to be with you because you have a desire when you're in your heart to live in a spiritual dimension of a higher frequency, you can't change that for them. They have to have that desire within themselves as well to be there.
Well, you used a word that I think is extremely important, and that is change. If you're in an unhappy marriage, something has to change.
Yeah,
either both of them or one of them.
Right.
There has to be movement.
And if the other partner is not willing to move out of that, then, you know, you have a choice to live within the misery or move out of the misery. That's your choice. But if the other person is willing to say, well, I can see that maybe there's some things I need to do to make a difference, then maybe there's some hope there that that marriage will make it. You know? If both people want to make a decision to make it work,
mm-hmm.
It's not like you said. Sometimes people live within that because their fear is, I can't do it by myself, I can't support me or my kids, or, you know, everybody will say, I failed because I got a divorce. There's a lot of things that are incorporated in that fear of moving out. Like she said, she's fearful of making a choice. Sometimes we're afraid we make the poor choice. I think that really plays a big part in it, too.
Of course, making no decision or making no choice is a decision also.
What is? Because you're choosing to stay in it.
Exactly.
You know, you either do or you don't. You can't. There's no staying in one place for people, you know. So for me, it was great. But for somebody else, I've worked with couples that have put it together, and they're just having a blast. I mean, it's just been wonderful to watch. But that was because they both wanted something different, and they were both willing to make the difference.
Well, we've been talking about divorce, where an unhappy marriage where there was a divorce, and we've talked about people who made a change for the better, and the marriage became strong. They realized
yep.
they didn't want to be apart from one another. So, we've heard from somebody who's contemplating a divorce. I'd like to hear from somebody who has worked through that and made the decision to stay, and they're happy, and they can call and give some thoughts about that. I think there'd be a lot of people out there who would want to hear that, too.
I think so. Because I think it's important to get that kind of feedback of what somebody, another couple did to make it work. Because I've seen it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some couples, I've even had one family where the father and the husband was willing to make a difference. He was willing to make the difference. And
mm-hmm.
I have where the wife has said to me, he's not the same man as he was before, and I've had the kids say to me when they've come in and work on things, they'll say, you know, he's not the same dad that raised me. He is so much fun now to be around. You know, God took out a lot of fears that we are dealing with in, like you said, our past life and cell memory there.
We've got a caller, Shirley. Maybe there's somebody calling in to tell you how to save a marriage.
Okay.
Your name, please.
Hi, my name's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. And
hi.
So what are you calling about, dear?
Oh, kind of along the lines of what you're talking about. I've gone through major changes in the last 10 years, and my marriage has been, you know, up and down because of that. And right now I'm kind of at a crossroads where I think I'm sort of waiting for some changes in my husband and giving him the chance to make some. So really what I want to talk about is, I mean, I have to keep moving forward regardless of what he does. So what I guess I want to talk about is my timing of my life purpose. I feel like some books are in the works eventually, and I do healing, and I'm very good at it, but I live in a community that's not real open to that, so my business hasn't been able to grow too much, and I'm homeschooling my 11-year-old this year, so I'm
not that
busy.
Hard.
So, yeah.
Homeschooling
so I just
difficult.
Kind of want to, you know, I wondered if we could access the Akashic Records just to kind of see timing for, you know, my path.
Well, timing, you know, what we're talking about here, Nancy, is free will. And that's not going to be in the Akashic Records. But now what we might find in the Akashic Records is a different question. In other words, some of the questions that surround that. So you're in a sense asking for a decision as to when you might make a divorce or, you know, become involved in a divorce where this is my perception. Some of the things that you should be thinking about is, do I have a mission? Did I come to Earth with a particular mission that I haven't fulfilled yet?
Well, I definitely know that I have one, and I think it involves writing these books. I've had a lot of massive spiritual experiences in the last 10 years, and like I said, I do healing. And so, yeah, it's like, it is about a decision, but it's, you know, it's like right now, whenever I've tried to move forward, it hasn't worked, and so I figured that the timing must not be correct. So
there's another question outside the fact of having a mission that you need to fulfill and you have this sense that you do. Another thing that you might want to know from the records is before you came into this lifetime, did you choose a spiritual mission or make arrangements for a spiritual mission with another individual? Because from what I gather that you're saying is you've come to the point where you realize you have a spiritual mission, but the gentleman that you're married to, this doesn't seem to engage him. And what I have found, Nancy, is that so many times we come into a marriage because we chose that to heal a particular thing. I've worked with people where they came into a situation to offer a healing to someone else, and that other person didn't accept the healing, and then it became time for them to move on and fulfill their secondary mission. So I just thought I'd put that out to you. That
somewhat feels right, and I think that there was some maybe karma payback happening, and it feels like it's nearing completion, and that's why I think that there's some other decisions that can be made. And so I kind of feel like I'm sort of in a holding pattern in a way, and I just need something to kind of keep me going and keep me, you know, something to look forward to for my own self while I'm sort of in this holding pattern.
Well, it could be that this healing, this work that you have to do with your husband hasn't been completed yet. That might be what you're feeling the holding pattern is, or you might, what might be is that you're feeling you're in a holding pattern because you haven't made a decision one way or another. It could be either one of those two, and we don't know yet. But let me see if you, before you came into this lifetime, if you made an agreement or a commitment with someone else to work a spiritual mission with, and let's see what we can find out.
Okay, thank you.
What I'm seeing is you've made agreements with several people. I see a group, and it is involved with healing. Do you have connections with people right now who are involved with healing?
No. Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm starting to attract some better friendships, and those people might be part of them, but not really other than that, no.
I'm not talking about clients. I'm talking about people who are also
healed. No, I mean, those are just friends. Those people are just friends, not clients. But
But
I you know, not really yet. Not, I mean, I don't have that group yet.
Well, I see that there are people who should be coming into your life that have that gift of healing. And what I'm sensing here is that you need to find them. Are there organizations or groups that you know where there are people who are interested in healing of some sort?
Well, no, not really. I live very, very remote. Some of that might be coming about. I mean, there are some groups in a town further away from me that I've had little contact with. And so I can sort of feel that moving toward me, but it's not there yet. I mean, I don't, you know, like I said, I'm awfully busy homeschooling this year, and I haven't been able to really, you know, seek that, but.
It's really hard when you're homeschooling because it does take a lot of your time to prepare lessons and so forth.
Yeah.
If there's some way that you could correspond with these people, you need connections, and maybe that's in the near future, with your peers.
Yeah, well, the other people that I have met and I've tried to engage a group or, you know, get them, there's just sort of, not an interest, it seems it goes both ways. So, so far, you know, whenever I've tried, that's why I say whenever I've, you know, tried to make things work, it hasn't really worked out yet. And so I thought maybe it was about the timing, so I just went back to the drawing board and kept trying to do my own healing and clearing.
How long, do you have to homeschool?
Just until late May.
Oh, okay. So this opportunity is going to open up after May, where you'll have more time to engage in peers who are interested in the healing. I because what I do see here is these connections and someone in a future date coming forth from these connections of peers who will share your interest and it be on a personal level.
Yeah, well, you know, and then I feel like I need to sit down and do some writing on this book, and so that's kind of what I'm wondering, if maybe I need to do the book first.
What's the book about? What's the subject?
Well, a lot of different things, just like different spiritual topics, and then a story from my own personal life. I've been through an awful lot, and how I healed each thing. I've had some pretty massive experiences with my little boy, too. So just a lot of different items. I haven't really gotten clear yet.
Does this sound like this might work for you to have a little handheld recorder. And
yeah, I have one of those, yeah.
And as you go about activities to when you get ideas as to how, you know, you could put this together, put it to record it.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to write notes and do that, record things a little bit, so.
Because I really do think that it is important for you to start that.
So it's just beginning it, you know, and that will get stuff maybe moving a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
Of course it would, because, you see, if you've got something down on paper, you now have another interest that you can talk to someone about. There is somebody there who is going to connect with you in your interest, whether it is healing, whether it is in this book. But I think it would be to your benefit to start with, to put these ideas down, get it organized, get it moving, the book. This is a way that you're preparing. And you did say something else that you're clearing. And yes, you do have some more, I can see that you have some more clearing to do, but you are acknowledging it, you're working on it, and it's a great step forward. And I think you're right. There's not going to be too much you can do about this until you're finished with the homeschooling, but that's going to come about quickly. You'll be finished with that, and so you'll have other things in place. Make the connections with this group that you're talking about. Start getting some ideas down on paper. And you see, just doing those things is like helping to clear the cobwebs out of your head.
Yeah.
And feel like you're getting moving. And I sense that Charlene has something to add to this. What were you
okay.
going to say, Charlene? Charlene?
Yes.
Stick your hand up there, darling. Have you got something to add to this?
No, I thought it was really, some of the things that probably might hang you up was what you were saying before was the fact that you were clearing some issues. So if you clear those issues, they won't be in the way of you moving into a higher frequency. Because you'll be clearing like we've talked before on the show. What it does is it creates a block. And so once those blocks start being cleared, then you'll move into a higher frequency anyway. But have you considered moving? Are you going to move someplace else?
Am I going to? Well, I guess that sort of depends on what all takes place here, you know, and kind of like I said, I feel like I'm in a holding pattern right
yeah.
now, just not certain, you know, what's going to
yeah.
take place and trying to be okay with that.
Now, there
yeah.
is something else that you can do. I thought of this. And when you meditate, do you meditate?
Yes.
When you meditate, see that time, that moment where what you wish to bring to you is there. In other words, there's a moment when you're maybe in another marriage, in fulfillment of your mission, where the book is completed. In other words, think of all of the things that you want in your future. Because
okay.
the new energies that are coming to Earth support this right now. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the new energies are supporting this. So take a picture in your mind of how you want your future to look. And that is a beautiful thing in your life also, you know. Some of the things could be like the book is finished, you have found your partner that brings you great happiness and love. And then be in that moment. See yourself in that moment. It's like bringing your dreams from the future to the present. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I guess I haven't put probably enough emphasis on that because I have tried to do that, but I haven't really been probably doing it as well as I could. So that's really
Carolyn,
good. Thank you.
Yeah, because Carolyn, what she's trying to tell you, right now the energy shift in the universe, and when that happened, things are moving very quickly of what you imagine and what you project. So, like she said, suggested, go ahead and do that, because people are moving much more quickly into their spiritual and into their higher abilities. So put those down so that you bring them not from just the spiritual realm, but into the physical. Like she was saying, imagine it and write it and make it become so.
Yeah. There's something else here. We are much more powerful than what we believe, and our minds are much more powerful than what we think. We can create our future. And this is really what we're talking about here. We create our future through our mind, through planning, through our desires. And this is really what we're talking about. So these couple months when you're working on these other things, put together a picture of what you want your future to look like. And then we have the power to bring that into the present moment, to walk into that.
Yeah, I think that we do, and I really agree with you. I think I'm just such a sensitive person that, you know, it's taken most of my energy just kind of blocking what's coming at me and trying to keep myself, you know, happy in a bad environment and that sort of thing. So I haven't spent as much time as I used to do that.
Well, I'm glad you called
in. You can do that again.
You can do it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I see you used to do it. We get away from those. You know, I heard this expression, we do things until we become successful at it, and then we stop doing it. So you used to do this. You used to plan, and then you became successful with it, and you stopped doing it.
Yeah.
So get back to it. Empower yourself. And I'm really confident.
Call back and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Yeah, I'd like
okay.
to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, thank you.
If you do that, you'll have energy that will be manifested in the physical level, and you'll find it moving very rapidly, okay? So do what she suggests. Start putting it down on the physical. Don't just think it. Write it down. You know, picture your book. Picture you doing healing. Put a picture of it down someplace. Then watch it. Watch the move of it in the energy right now.
You know, some people believe in doing that as a help, Charlene. They do a collage. They cut pictures out of a magazine of things that they want in their future life, and they cut it out. They glue those pictures in a collage.
Right.
And they...
When I'm teaching a class or have private clients here, that's what I have them do. Because you're using all your senses. You're showing, you're doing it on you're visualizing it. And once you start visualizing, it's amazing how quickly the universe starts projecting what you visualized and what you thought and felt.
Well, I'd like to comment on something that you just said. And what that is, Charlene, is the universe really does want to fulfill our desires. But if the universe doesn't know what we want, it doesn't know what to give us.
No, you got to put it down.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to really feel it. You know, we've got to put emotions. I have found in the work that I have done that emotions play such a big part of bringing the future into our present lifetime. And we have to have passion about what we want. It can't be a sort of thing. There has to be passion around it. There has to be emotions. And that emotion and passion helps to come out if we do a picture of it or if we write it down. It is someplace there where the mind can work on it. And it's a wonderful tool.
Well, it definitely works.
It does.
It works. I've seen people call and say, okay, I'm on my fourth collage, and I've got another one put together. Let's do it. Because once you use all your senses, then, like you said, the universe knows what you really mean. It doesn't have, it can't guess at what your desires are. You got to let it know what your desires are.
Well, Charlene, we're right up to the edge, darling. Real quick, give your phone number for those who might want a session with you.
Okay, it's Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346. And if I don't call you back in 48 hours, call me again. It means it didn't go on the machine. So please call me back.
You can hit on one of my websites that's on the page at BBS, and that has to do with Lord Metatron has a message for you. And I'll be on the air a couple hours later for an hour. If you tried to get in and you missed us, call us then. And so see you in 2 weeks with Charlene and in a couple hours with myself. Good talking to all of you. Bless you all.
Okay. God's blessings, and we love you. Bye-bye.